You're listening to KBOO KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up is Calculated Conversation with David and Ken. This show has been pre-recorded.
KBOO Community Radio is working with Beautiful Portland to collect socks and blankets for those who are sleeping outside this winter. There is a collection box in the lobby of KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, between Burnside and Ankeny. Donations are accepted Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
KBOO, Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Yes, yes, we are back again. This is the wonderful Calculated Conversation radio show, one of the most important talk shows on radio today. This is your host, David Jefferson, and
Ken Jones.
In the house, man.
We are here.
In the house.
What's going on with you, Ray?
Oh, nut, man. You know, we just expanding the show, man. So we definitely appreciate everybody listening and, you know, hope we, you know, attract more supporters and spread more love and can build more energy, you know, with this new network that we building on, man.
Yes.
It's dope.
And that's what it's about. We want to continue to spread it, keep it going.
Yes.
And going and going.
Keep it flowing. This is the type of energy we need every day on a consistent basis, man. This is how we're going to get where we're going and how we're going to understand, you know, the process of getting there. We all learning. We all in school. And we all teaching each other, man.
So I have somebody come and ask me, you know, what is Calculated Conversation? And I always tell them that David got the most solid answer for you.
Calculated Conversation, for those who may not know what it is, I think the idea is something I created. It's a chapter of a book that I'm writing. And when I got the show, it only made sense to call it a chapter out of the book. And then, you know, I just thought about which one made the most sense. And I'm thinking, Calculated Conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect, you know. It's about being more intentional. It's coming from, you know, the main idea is sort of based off the premise that most people just don't know what it's like to be other people. It's kind of something I figured out, you know, at one point as I'm just kind of studying society and paying attention to the world and how people interact with each other, mm-hmm. right? And I'm thinking, oh, man, it's not that big of a deal. It's just most people don't know what it's like to be other people. That's all,
right.
You know? And so as you consider that, you realize that there's information missing.
Mm-hmm.
There's conversations that need to take place that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of lack of strategy in conversation and in action, you know, which often allows us to make people feel the way we don't want to make them feel, not by no ill intent, but just because we aren't, you know, conscious and intentional of, you know, every action and word,
right.
You know, and it seems like a lot, but, you know, I think at the rate of, you know, confusion that humanity is going in, and the way people are, you know, talking to each other, treating each other, I think it's still important to try to be conscious of everything you're putting out, mm-hmm. you know, so that you know what you're getting and what you're giving. And so words and actions, you know, we want to think about what our main goal is. You know, we want to think about What do we need to say? What do we need to do? How can we be more straightforward and more direct to make sure everything's consistent? You know, we want our words and our actions to say and show the same thing.
Right.
You know, and again, it's a big part of knowing what result that we want. Mm-hmm. We do also understand that typically I feel like we come from a society that has sort of taught people to separate pretty quickly off of differences. Calculated conversation, the idea of this is to encourage you to build off similarities first, mm-hmm. which I believe will make the differences a lot easier to take in. Mm-hmm. Once you build, I think, a positive connection with somebody, you can sit back and relax, and then you can discuss differences.
Right.
I think when you start off with differences, I think that's how you get, you know, a lot of arguments, and you get fights, and you get, you know, misunderstandings,
right.
because we both coming from two different areas and two different mindsets and teachings, and neither one of us has considered what the other one might right. not know or might know.
Right, right.
And we have to relinquish the idea that people understand exactly what we understand already without thinking that we should have to tell them, you know?
Yes.
Yes. Right, right.
Look, you know, my favorite thing in the world. You do need to teach people how to treat you.
Right, because again, you know, people don't always understand that, you know, we definitely come from a variety of walks of life, man. And, you know, I don't think anyone's path has been completely identical. Mm-hmm. Even when you grew up in the same house as somebody as a sibling.
Yes.
Your past can be identical.
Mm-hmm.
And until we realize, you know, why our paths are the way they are, and until we, I think, probe to find out why other people's paths are the way they are, mm-hmm. we'll continue to be operating from a lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
And so lack of information is going to result in a lack of a connection and lack of empathy and the inability to build the bridge through differences, you know, which is something that we should probably be more considerate of, just so we can, I mean, the goal is to just bring people closer and realize that we don't really have that big of an issue with each other. It's just that we haven't had a conversation that was strategic enough to understand where we're coming from and be like, hey, you know what, we got something in common,
right?
You know, we don't even know that we got stuff in common because we haven't talked yet,
you know. For the listeners too, to help kind of paint a visual, there was a photo I saw here recently where it was a six written on the ground, and it was a man on each side of that six.
Right.
Well, one of them saw a six, the other saw a nine.
Right.
And it kind of showed they're arguing
right.
of what they see, which is two different things. But in that, if either of them had stopped for a moment, came to the other side, they'd be able to see what that person was seeing
right.
and realize that they were both right.
Right.
They were
right.
both correct right. in what they were saying. But taking that time to come and look at it from the other person's point of view may have altered and gave a better understanding of why they saw things the way that they did. And I thought that was a perfect way of summing that up in a photo form. I right. just, you know, so with what we have going here is essentially that it's taking yourself out of your stance sometimes
right.
to try to view this from someone else's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you just allow yourself to be open to the information that they're giving you
mm-hmm.
and not just biting and fighting it tooth and nail because you're so stuck in your stance, then you may be able to get a better level of understanding, and therefore the thing that you thought was dividing
right.
can be eliminated
right.
and the connection can be built. Most of the things are built on rapport, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's not too many people that, you know, go on a first date and they just list off everything, their character flaws, and I'm throwing air quotes for the
right.
listeners, because most of the time we're trying to connect right mm-hmm. first. Not too many people are going to come and just tell you the things that are the areas they need the most improvement on.
Right.
They're usually not leading with that discussion, right?
Right?
But that's still a part of the process,
mm-hmm.
but building that connection first so there's some kind of trust and connection,
mm-hmm.
then we can start having these more developed,
yeah.
in-depth conversations that may not just be accepted initially.
Right.
So that's what this is all about. And it's about us sharing our experiences where
mm-hmm.
we've applied this methodology to our lives, to our interactions, Mm-hmm. We also share the times that it works,
right,
and the times when it doesn't work,
right,
and how we've had to reassess and maybe reapproach that same issue with a better level of understanding, whether it was, you know, with the follow-up, the questions that we're asking to try to get some understanding, but then also knowing at the same time when the energy is not worth throwing out there and continuing to seek the understanding that you may have wanted at one time.
Right. Sometimes you just gotta, you like to say, I guess, agree to disagree, but but it's not really no real disagreement because you don't understand, man. But you know, just trying to, you know, realizing that there's times when people are literally in a disagreement or misunderstanding, and like you said, they both could be right, you know, and the breakdown just comes from the fact that people don't realize that they're talking about two different things, mm-hmm. or two different aspects of the same thing, you know, and so it gets deep, you know, so you have to get more information. Like, you need information, and you know, you think about wise people and, you know, people that always seem to got the formula figured out. Well, it's because they've been open-minded to take in things from several different and diverse areas and points of views in life, you know.
Right.
And as you do that, you can build sort of a simple sort of a gumbo pot like formula for how to process information, you know what I mean? And it looks like they know everything, but in fact they just listen to everything, and they consider things that they normally wouldn't. And you know, you decide what you can use and what you can't. But you do have the information, that's important, so you can speak on it.
Yes.
You know, and you know, speaking about what you know about is a great thing. And what's also great is realizing that you have no information and being able to admit that and be transparent, say, hey, you know what, I don't know.
Right.
But I definitely would like to look into that, or if you have information you can give me, I'll take that. You know, and that'll make me more sharp. You know, I'm not mad at you for being honest with me, you know, and so it's just different aspects of it, but we just want to see what we can do and play our role in trying to create a tighter knit society for those that we can impact. It's not going to work for everyone, and you know, for some it may seem a little bit much to have to really think and calculate before you make moves. You know, I understand in the beginning that can be a little bit stressful, but you know, I find that after some practice and, you know, some consistency, it gets really, really easy. And then you just kind of stay open-minded, you know. And you don't have to force yourself to listen or force yourself to think or calculate. You just kind of, it becomes sort of second nature, which is a good thing, you know.
That's everything. Not just a good thing. It's everything. Also, I just want to go over a quick, you know, outline for you guys tuning in, just kind of know what we're going to talk about a little bit today. We're gonna, of course, it's Black History Month.
Right.
We are day two of the celebration.
Right.
You know, it's like the anniversary. We celebrate all year, but this is the anniversary of the pioneers.
Calendar, like, you got 30 days. All right, do your thing.
So now we got 29. It's leap year. They gave
us 29.
Extra.
I forgot.
So we can touch on that. We definitely gotta you know, take some time to discuss Kobe Bryant and,
right,
you know, some of our thoughts and just spread some of the love. And yeah, so we'll be touching on that, and then we'll have some of our you know, side conversations that typically pop up because we're good at that.
Right.
So, man, yesterday we both were at an event up at SEI, and that was to kick off the Black History Month, which was the Junction Ave.
Right.
So had you been part of the Junction Avenue events before?
Yeah, Junction Avenue, that was my second year.
Okay.
I remember the first year I became aware of it, I showed up, but I didn't have a booth.
And okay.
I was like, man, I needed to be here, you know? And I made sure next year I got in, which was last year, and then this is my second year. And it's an amazing event, you know? It's a Black-owned business pop-up celebration, bringing all the, you know, Black businesses and brands and entrepreneurs together. You just, I love these events, man. Yeah. You know, these are not my. This is like these events. I won't even be at my booth for a while, man. Like I will walk around and check on everybody. You talk, you know. There's like-minded people in there. Like the energy is just, it's amazing. Everybody is in their lane. Everybody's happy. Everybody's smiling. Everybody's shaking hands, man. It's like, you know, you just can't buy that type of energy, you know, in most settings, you know. And so, and we're making money, you know, and we're spreading brand awareness and business awareness, you know, and we leave with a lot more than we came with, man.
You know,
I love those events, man, you know. And if I didn't make any money there, I would be there all day still. I don't even like leaving, man. When they say, oh, yeah, we shut down at 6, I'm like, 6?
Right.
And my Soulja Boy voice, 6? I want to be till 8, you know, but I know Daylight Savings is making it dark at 2:30 in the afternoon. But, you know, I love them, man. Yeah. You know, I think that's just the beauty of business. And I was telling my best friend, I said, it's just crazy that you could be in a situation like this, have so much fun, build yourself up more, have positive conversation, and make money. Like, that shouldn't even be legal. You know, that's life to me, man. I love those events, and there's a lot more coming up, you know, for Black History Month than I know of that we'll talk about in a minute. But, you know, if you get a chance to, you know, make these events, just do it. The energy is just, it's outrageous, and it's inspiring. And it'll make you, you know, it'll really make you want to create more and be more and spread more love, though,
yes,
you know?
Yes. That's where, I came yesterday as on-the-spot interviewer for the Numbers FM. Always link with DJ Ambush, shout him out, calls me out to come help, and actually had the likes of my co-host of the Unrefined Sophisticates, Morgan Jones, with me. And so that's what we showed up as, the Unrefined Sophisticates, during that event. But being able to pull people to the side, and, you know, we had a few questions lined up, just asking them, you know, about their experience and why events like this were important to them and the community as a whole. And then some of the fun stuff we got into, of course, being that it's a music station, you know, asking people, what are you listening to right now? Like, what's on your playlist right now, if we pulled your phone open and went into the music folder? So it was some interesting pieces from that. One of the questions, and I want to ask you this right quick while we're here. So we said, if there was a 20 song, we going back, because back in the 90s, you had 20 songs on a CD.
Okay.
Like, that was a regular project. You can get, you know, I'd say 16 to 20 songs. So now, especially on a soundtrack.
Right.
So there was a soundtrack to your life, right? Uh-huh. And it was 20 songs. Tell me 3 songs that guaranteed would be on there. They don't have to be your top songs, they don't have to be any ranking system, but just 3 songs that have to be on your life's soundtrack.
From the 90s?
No, from whenever.
Oh, man. I'm gonna have to say, shoot, that's tough. A lot of it's gonna be Nipsey. I want to say, I kind of want to say Double Up.
Okay.
You know, okay. Just the reason is because I've always been an entrepreneur, you know, like for such a long time that I've always been in that process. Even before that, you know, when I wasn't doing everything right in life, I was still, you know, doubling up. And I feel like that's kind of a focus for a lot of people growing up, you know, say poor, just not having, like they're trying to figure out, how can I make more than what I have? How can I make this grow?
Right.
And I think that's been my mindset almost my whole life.
Right.
You know, like, I'm always investing in myself, always investing in my brand, and, you know, always, you know, even just flipping stuff if it's not my brand, you know what I'm saying? There's always making it, always doubling it, or even tripling it, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's just always been part of, you know, I think, my fabric, man.
Okay.
What's another song? I think, God, so many songs, man. One song I really like that I think I connect with deep is, I think, To the End of Time by Tupac.
Okay.
I think the reason for that one is, just because of where we come from, you know, being authentic, being myself, and really not compromising my character. I'm gonna be like this until the end of time. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, this is not gonna, like, there's nothing that's gonna change, I think, who I am. But that's so solid, so set in stone now. Like, I could literally become a millionaire and I would still be talking about the same things.
Okay.
And I would still be with the same people.
Okay.
You know, and I might be driving a van too, right. You know, and so it's just like, you know, or a truck or something, but it's just like, you know, and that, until the end of time, it also just talked about, you know, coming from a certain place and, you know, people not understanding you no more.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It talked a lot about being from the streets and being, you know, from the inner city areas, growing and having people disconnect with you because of you growing. Mm. You know, and struggling and trying to figure out how you're gonna make it and have people not recognize you at times.
Okay.
I guess, you know, and so that's an important song. Shoot, the third one. Oh man, let me think. Mm-hmm. Maybe I might have to, I kind of, I don't want to say that, man. Shoot, almost kind of want to say Flamboyant.
Yeah,
old school E-40. Yeah. You know, or either that or God, it's tough. Even that Ballin' Out of Control too by E-40.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I would say Ballin' Out of Control. I mean, just because I've done that before, you know. Yeah. Just, and I don't mean Ballin' Out of Control, but you know, I've definitely balled out. But it's just more or less sitting in my living room, just trying to figure out. Like when I came up with Stacking Kicks, I was literally sitting in my living room on my couch, just thinking like, man, like, you know, and it just came right there, you know. Yeah. What I'm saying, like, just trying to think of a master plan, like literally really trying to find a way out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, like, been doing that pretty much my whole life, like trying to figure out how am I gonna get out of where I'm from and get where I'm going and kind of change my own narrative. Like that's always been a goal of mine because I knew it had to been bigger than where I was from.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've been desperately, like, you know, people that know me, they've seen me try several things. Even just as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. just trying to figure out what way out do I want? What way out of this, you know, this history, this inner city, this mindset, what's going to be my way out?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, always wondering, and I still wonder that at right. times, because we doing so many great things now. It could be the brand. It could be Calculated Conversation. Right. You know, it could be Unrefined Sophisticates.
Right.
You
right.
know, it could be any one of these things that could be our way out. We right. still, you know, figuring it out at this right. point. You know what right, I'm saying? And right. so, like, that's always been one of my songs. I would just, you know, you got certain songs that you can play 15, 20 times on repeat. Yes. That's always been one of them.
Yes. So. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a nice little combo. It's funny because you catch most people, you know, we were trying, because at first it was like, what are your top three songs? I was like, that's two on the spot.
Generic, yeah.
So we were like trying to give people some range with, you know, out of a 20 song playlist, but just some of the stuff people were dropping, you know, we were surprised. I know one of the young men sat down and all his songs were rock songs.
Oh, nice.
And it was like, you know, and that made me, because I know I mentioned to Morg, Beck, Loser. That's one of the songs that would go on my playlist. And I was probably 9 when that came out, and just remember liking that song a lot. And I feel like it reminds me of a time period, you know, in my life.
Mm.
And I don't know why. I think that was the first, like rock, I don't know what that would fall under as far as the scope of genres, but that was the first thing that kind of was out of just my normal rap, right?
You know,
a rap, R&B, old school music that my parents listened to, but that was one that was just like a cool little head nodder and was quirky enough. And I feel like, you know, as we discussed, I feel like always being that in between, that for lack of better words, weirdo, you know, kid of like, you know, being, having the street edge, but then also having this other part of me that was, you know, what would be considered the nerd, you
right.
know, and this blend that kept me, you know, just a little out of either side, because I was too much of the other to fit fully into. So it just, you know, but took that, and then I think I threw out Ain't Nothing But A G Thing. Like that was one of the ones. And then there's a E-40 and Mitchie Slick song called Connected, and that came out when I was about 17, 18, and that, you know, Bay Area, Southern California song, and them just kind of just talking about essentially being connected everywhere they go, kind of having connections in these places. And I feel like, you know, in my life, and talking about the different places I've lived, and not having family, not having anybody there, I've had to build my connections. So I know what it's like to be out here and having to wiggle, and it all be off of my namesake, off of my hustle is what built that. So I think those would definitely make it on that playlist. But anyways, at that juncture, shitty, being able to interact with the people that were there and be able to kind of hear the excitement in their voice when they were sitting down with us having back and forth. That was huge. And, you know, each person kind of brought up being able to have events like this put on and be able to present who we are, what we do in a space, right, with things that are familiar, people who are familiar, right? And one of the things that I spoke to was being able to show up fully myself, right? And we talk about this sometimes, me and you, even off air, of, you know, the idea that when we talk, we communicate in our voice. This isn't a radio voice. This isn't, you know, we're not switching this up any kind of way, because we shouldn't have to. The way that the inflection of these words and stuff doesn't take away from, it shouldn't take away our slang or whatever, you know, cultural norms that we have when we have conversation should not dictate our intelligence because it's not used in this arena. You know, it's not professional enough. And don't get me wrong, I understand where you have to, you know, when you're inserting settings and you need to know certain things and present them a certain way. I get that. But again, that has no bearing on intelligence, right?
Right. They wouldn't let us cuss either. That's rude. No, so,
but being able to have a place that, you know, it is, language is so complex, right? Especially under in the culture, the thing of, you know, I mentioned the little shimmy that I do, that that means something, right? I don't have to explain that. Nobody's looking at me crazy for some of the actions I might take, or, you know, the way that we express ourselves as a culture that is not aggressive. It's not intimidating. These are actually displays of love, right? And so being in a place where I'm not having to think about how any of this looks, how anybody's taking this action or this phrase, you know what I mean? Like, there's something about that that allows you to present and show up wholly, fully yourself. And that's important. And being able to do it your way, your voice. And that's, you know, a big push. And so I think that most of the people that sat down when asking them the question of, you know, why is this important? What do you feel is important about events like this for yourself and the community as a whole? Almost every person kind of spoke to that in a different way. And that's something that, you know, I took from it, that it just, it feels right. And this has to be normalized more, on bigger platforms. And that's why shows like Calculated Conversation
Are important.
Are very important. Because as we go through this, we break down some very complex communication ideologies. But we do it in a way that's digestible, no matter if you're growing up in this inner city and you may not, you know, school may not have been your thing, right? That doesn't, you can still be an intelligent person.
That
book smart versus the street smart, whatever way they want to lay it on, you know, if you're people smart, there's different intelligences and understanding. Like, I'll take a people smart person over somebody that can give me all kind of details about world history
with a bad attitude.
So it's just, you know,
because over here
it's just important that, you know, with events like this, that we continue you know, showing up and highlighting these things. And because it's some great, there was a lady that sat down and was giving me the game on life insurance, which I want to bring her on this show, because she had some amazing input in just a 10-minute container. And I was like, yeah, there's a lot more to this,
to talk about
stuff you don't hear about. Like, that's not even kind of.
That's going to be a good show.
And her whole reason in this, she said, is because she, when she went to get life insurance and the premiums they were giving her, she was just like, how? And did her start doing her own investigation into it. And realized, like, whoa, like, they were getting over. They were being greedy. These companies that she had checked with were just being greedy. And that's what kind of got her into it. So it's stuff like that where information. Now she has the information, and her whole thing was, I'm not trying to hold on to this. I want everybody to know this. So that's why I sit down and I put together this consulting. Essentially, she is a does consulting for life insurance to kind of give you the deep understanding of how this works. And I was just getting so much game in that little few minutes of, like, yikes.
He was blown away.
Yeah. So, but just pieces like that, you know what I mean? And to be able to connect and be able to face to face people that are able to give you this info. We talk about being in the workplace sometimes, right? And how our ability to communicate with other people that are similar to us, right? But we also have the ability to communicate with people that aren't
necessarily similar to us, just up for face value, right? But there's something about when you walk into a room, you know, we look around, kind of see who's the most, like, closest in age, who's the closest in style. You know, even it will start with, of course, you see color, right? So you see race, you then there's gender, then you work down this thing. So you find that commonality and you usually gravitate, you know, towards that, right? And when you have, you know, someone like ourselves in a workplace and we're able to connect because we have to deal not only in our arena, but we also have to deal under the context of how most of these places of employment, their standards.
Right.
So we know how to play both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. We know how to walk and talk on both sides of these fences.
Right.
So a lot of people don't have that skill set. They only know their side because that's been the standard, right, for so long.
Right.
And the thing is being able to start shaking that up some and showing that, yeah, I can do what you can do and this.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to. You can learn, but you're not putting yourself in scenarios. See, we're forced to be in scenarios we have to adapt to a certain extent on this other side. So understanding that we have something that keeps needing to be done and spread. Because we have we're essentially bilingualists in this.
Yeah.
We've got multiple languages we can speak in, and they all hit different.
And there's certain people that will only really connect with us.
Yes.
You know, and it's not about if that's right or not, but, you know, it's just sometimes it's just the fact.
What is the goal, though? If the goal is to connect and to be, then it's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it'll make certain people feel a certain way, I guess. But the point is, I mean, if we understand that, you know, that's a great incentive for us to step in and give both sides of the fence, you know, and be able to break down, you know, the to and the fro. You know, it's a process. It's a formula. It's very serious. You know, it's complicated. You know, and you have to be open-minded, you know, and it's not going to come natural. So being able to look into that and you know, digest that, you know, we can gain some healthy insight on who we are and who we aren't, you know, and how far, you know, we may have to go to become that, to have that 360 awareness, you know, in order for us to really be successful. Like, we really do have to find a way to connect with any and everybody under any circumstance.
And sometimes it's sometimes what it is being able to having to humble yourself, like, no matter, you know, what level you're at, what title you may run with or have, you know, place to, being able to step back and realize, okay, there's an area right here that I could improve in. And even though there's somebody else who may not be of my caliber, right, being able to step and come to them like, hey, look, this is an area, this is something I'm trying to work on. I see you have a gift in this arena. You have strength, skill set that I would like to learn from, you know, and reaching out walking in that type of path.
Right.
And I think if, you know, more people took the time out to do that, we'd have a lot more effective communicators. We'd have a lot more people that are comfortable in different settings.
Right. And again, you know, back to calculated conversation, if you want to really break it down, you know, to the, you know, the lowest common factor, is just that we just have to make sure that we have conversation. We have to make sure that information isn't missing. We don't have as many problems realistically as it appears. You know, we have issues with people understanding other people, and that's making it snowball into a whole social issue, when in fact on some level a lot of people are just dropping the ball on that. Oh, I definitely understand, or I'm trying to understand, you know, as opposed to that's just too different to even look at, you know. And that's where we are. We got to somehow get out of that, you know. And, you know, this is the main purpose behind this show, you know. That's all we want. We don't want you guys to, you know, make us rich and put us on a pedestal or, you know, anything like that. It's just a matter of, we want to make sure that we encourage you just to do as much as you can socially, you know, even if it's just through a conversation or just through a couple of actions that, you know, help people feel understood. And when I think about what frustrates most people, that's basically what it is. I just don't feel like anyone understands me. This is why people commit suicide. This is why people join gangs. This is why, you know, sometimes people commit crime. You know, this is why people kill people, man. You got to think about this stuff. People think it's so simple, you know, like we got to get out of that mindset to where, oh, well, what we do only affects us. What I say only affects me. Like, you have to get deeper than that. And I know it's hard because we're not taught that, but the ramifications, you know, of, you know, lack of accountability and lack of awareness of your fellow human being is putting us in a very disastrous society. And it's not getting that much better, you know, if not just getting worse. So we have to do our part, man. You know, you have, if you're alive, I feel like you have responsibility. That's the bottom line. You know, we have to understand it's bigger than us, you know. And why are we doing this show? Because me and Ken know it's bigger than us. You know, we could just keep this information, run with it, and just try to win solo.
Right.
We don't have to be here telling y'all nothing for free.
Teamwork, make the dream work.
You know, but, you know, if we can help make society a better place and we can, you know, just open up a few minds and maybe that information can spread to their friends and their family and their kids, we may be able to change the narrative, you know?
And that's what it's really about.
Yeah.
And doing it in our voice.
Yeah, our voice. But don't, you don't do it in our voice. You do it in yours. So it comes from you. But yeah. So
And I'm just, you know, use that as a segue kind of into the importance also of, you know, representative press, right? For not just blacks, you know, just people of color, whatever, like, there to be the voices, stories being told by the voices that match the storyteller. Mm-hmm. The storyteller's voice is matching the story, right, and the people in it. And the importance of that, right? I think for a very long time, not even think, for a very long time, you know, media in the outlets, whether it's a movie, books, you know, so many things written about a people, right? A culture by someone outside of the culture. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can have a couple of friends of a culture, but unless you're immersed in that, there's a lot of things that, like, why not when there's people who are of that culture that can do that same thing, which is tell that story. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for, you know, us, and again, this show, and to make sure, you know, to clarify, this isn't a thing, like, this is just a we blacker than black. This is for people in general.
Right.
But one of the things as young black men, we definitely understand that our story is important, and our story being told the way that we tell stories is important.
Right.
And so that's what we do. And being a part of the press, under the press umbrella, it's important that we're doing this in the way that we're doing it.
Right.
You know, it's a way that's comfortable for us, because although it may make some people uncomfortable, that's not for us to really be concerning ourselves with. Right. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. There's certain things that are said, and this may come across as, you know, aggressive. It may come across as flamboyant, but this is us communicating. And there's people that we would say this to that look like you or I, who know exactly what we're saying. And it's not like they're being extra. It's like, no, this is just how we interact. This is how we do things. This is how we display, right? This is how we communicate. And that's why it's important to be able to give this type of insight, and also to big up other people who are. I applaud. There's something about sitting and hearing a story being told, you know, about, let's say, black history, you know, and being narrated by a person of color.
Right.
Or even better, someone that's of the lineage of the person or people they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like watching some documentaries that I've seen where it's the great, great, great grandchildren of this icon in history telling that story. There's something that comes from that that's much more pure and in-depth, right?
And genuine. Yeah.
And genuine. And there's a piece, too, where we have a certain amount of our shared experience and shared pain is something that can't be put into words.
Right.
And so for somebody that's never experienced that, they can have the greatest of intention. Like, don't get me wrong, the intention of passing the information and making sure it's out there, but there are certain parts of it that you can never understand and you can't identify with.
Right.
So it's not going to hit the same way. Mm-hmm. So when you're retelling this and this is being put out there, certain questions that I would ask, right, or follow-ups that I would be interested in, may not be the same as what the standard has been.
Right, right.
And the people kind of pushing that. So I just wanted to highlight this month especially, and you know, no matter what you are, or whether you're black, white, Asian, Islander, we can go down the whole list, everything included.
Right.
Take some time to listen to, you know, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a online, you know, news outlet that's put on by a culture for their culture.
Right.
Take some time out this month and do that. Mm. Go outside of your range of your normal listening, right. You know, or your television watching, whatever it may be, however you know, find your entertainment. But find someone, get a book by a author, right? Given a talk of their story. Listen to that, read that. I challenge you all to right. Take some time to do that.
And you know, I like what you said. I want to just touch on that. You know, you're talking about, you know, being a, you know, hearing stories, having a storyteller be of, you know, familiar background, mm-hmm. culture, and being able to digest that a little easier.
Yeah.
I think that's important, you know, as, again, we talking about being understood, mm-hmm. right? And as we can create that familiar understanding first, mm-hmm. I feel like we can build the comfort level necessary to step outside of that and build off of other cultures.
Look.
You know, and that's why sometimes it's important. You know, we gotta, you know, we get, you know, people want to be comfortable, you know, and this is the problem. Most people that think they hate people don't hate them as much as they just don't understand them. You know, and being understood relaxes people. It makes people comfortable. Now that I know you understand me and you hear me, I'm open to hearing what you got to say now. Until you understand me, I'm going to continue to cut you off, shut you up, raise my voice, block you, you know, hang the phone up, whatever it takes to, you know, relieve myself of that energy of being misunderstood.
Yes.
You know, but now that it's not like that, you've done the work, you've empathized, you've put yourself in my shoes, you've walked next door to my side of the number 9 or 6.
Right.
You see what I see, and now we have the energy we need to build something genuine.
Yes.
We have the trust now.
Yes.
The understanding. You see me, I see you. We got the same information, and we both want to go to the same place. Now we can make a plan together. We can build a bridge together, and we can cross hand in hand no matter what we look like or where we're from.
You know, speaking of that, being able to connect and come together, you know, we had the tragedy of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, along with 7 other people who right. passed away.
Right.
1 week ago today, as we're recording this.
Right.
And, you know, you think of the outpouring of love, right? Mm-hmm. We'll highlight that to begin with. And that's across almost the board.
Right,
so
right.
Almost the word with the asterisk right, next right. to it, and people connecting. You know, you see outside like the Staples Center celebration and stuff that they had, where where it was all the races,
mm-hmm.
all the age ranges.
Mm-hmm.
Like this hit,
yeah,
deep,
right?
Connection. If nothing else, those people agreed on this thing,
right?
And that's what they connected over,
right?
That's
right.
what they were able to bond over,
right?
Was their love for this person,
something in common, a similarity.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes, Lord. But in there, like, you know, like many things, this is, you know, one of my things I struggle with when it comes to the intranets, as much as I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of that is, you know, people not just allowing things to be.
Right. You said that so smooth, man. Like, it's killing you to say it that smooth.
Look, it's just, it's hard for people to let, like, as if two things can't exist
right.
at the same time. And
right.
And if you only speak to one, then you're dissing the other somehow.
Right, right.
And it's the easiest way to put it, being pro something is not being anti something else.
That's right.
not an automatic,
right.
I'm anti this. It's no, this is what I'm on right now.
Right.
Yes, that's a thing too, but this is what I'm talking about right now.
Right, right.
And
right.
Some people have a hard time letting that be.
Yeah. Thinking that's through, like, you know, it's got a lot to do, again, with, I think, cultural conditioning and media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the needing to choose a side, the needing to compare. I mean, you know, and just even just as far as the Kobe situation, people comparing him to other athletes or, you know, whatever the case is, they all feel bad now. You know, they're frustrated. You know, they don't want to compare him and LeBron no more, him and Jordan. And the thing is, they're all great. You know, we're talking about people that are all great and have contributed, you know, a major amount of blood, sweat, tears, and time and love to a passion and a society to entertain it. You know, there's no reason to compare, because, again, let's go deeper. You know, people may say this is too deep, but we're talking about another level of division,
man,
in sports, you know. And me personally, I told somebody yesterday, and I still keep the same sentiment. I've said this for years, and I really don't even care at this point who agree or who don't. But, you know, being an avid, diehard sports fan is sometimes carries the same energy, you know, the same disdain and lack of love and empathy as racism. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's almost using the same formula.
Mm.
You know, and that right there is, and when you get into talking about, you know, people comparing athletes, fighting over athletes, fighting in the stands, arguing, threatening people online, you're doing all this over what was intended to be entertainment.
Mm.
And now you want to hurt somebody because your team lost.
Mm.
Or you storm in a house and don't talk to your wife for 24 hours. No, it gets that serious, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, just remember, we don't have to divide, like, you know, like somebody can love the Lakers and somebody can love the Blazers and y'all can still go have a hamburger together.
Hey.
You know, it's not that serious. You know, this is not a direct reflection or effect on your life unless you know, make it like that. You know, and so the man is, you know, had a great career. You know, he did some amazing things and, you know, he's globally loved, you know, and there's nothing you can do about that. And so trying to, at this point, well, he's not LeBron, or this is, you know, he's never going to be Jordan. I mean, like, I don't even understand what that has to do with the fact that, again, the man is great and he changed a part of the world, how they see certain things.
I want to highlight something, too, that, you know, I saw that was bothersome, and somebody kind of summed it up great. Because I think that immediately once we started finding out, you know, that there were more people involved and who all was involved, you know, people were like, making a lot there. I've seen a lot of statements to the effect of, it wasn't just Kobe and his daughter who passed away. You guys should be honoring everybody who passed. And it's like, yeah, okay, well, you know, first off, we didn't know. They were not released as far as any other names. They were just saying seven others, you know, so that was the first part. And on top of that, people pass away every single day. Yes, it's always a sad thing, but I don't know these people.
Right.
And I know that sounds like, yes, in general, I understand that it is a sad thing. And I can be sad every single day for the people who are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. It's not the same when it's somebody that means something to me,
right?
A stranger's mother passing away, yes, that sucks, but it's not going to hit the same as mine.
Right.
And so when somebody is, you know, when that person is who's connected, and I don't think that people understand what Kobe was. Kobe was the Jordan for the generation after me and you.
Right.
That was their idol.
Right.
And so people connected on that. Right. And so that's not to take away. That's who we know, though. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that's where the emotion, what it's linked to. We're not saying that he was more important, his life being lost was any. No, we're saying that's who we know, who we're speaking about.
Right.
We don't have memories with the rest of the people on board.
Right.
Again, that's, it's tragic all the way around, you know, and it's condolences, and love and light to the families of everyone affected, but people can mourn the way that they need to, and it's not a problem,
right,
to not necessarily give these displays for everyone. Because if that's the case, then we should be going through our newspaper every day and going through the obituary section and making posts and mourning for everyone, right, who has ever passed away.
Right, right.
And again, and there's many more layers in this that I could go into. We got a few minutes left, but I wanted to touch on that. And then understanding too, right quick, getting into kind of the complexity of being a human being,
mm-hmm,
right? And me and you talk about this often, where we've lived lives that, you know, a lot of people don't make it out of, to be able to be on the opposite side, mm-hmm, of the street mm-hmm, that we came up on,
right?
And the way that we operate usually is that we want to put people into the box, right? A box, because it's easy to identify, mm-hmm, when you're thrown in a box. People have a hard time understanding that I can dress the way that I dress, these tennis shoes, the Nike sweatsuits, I can listen to whatever type of rap that I want to, and also be able to work on your computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can also program and code,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But my face doesn't look like it. Nothing about me says that.
Right.
And so it's confusing when it's like, okay, what is it?
Right.
I can be sensitive and hard at the same time.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
I can have scheduled cry sessions and also beat you up on command,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, that doesn't, I can be both of those things at the same time. We all are complex,
mm-hmm,
and also ever evolving, right?
Right,
so it's like, as we're continuing to grow, we're adding on skill sets, we're adding ways to deal with life in general. Hopefully we're becoming stronger in these areas, and we're developing these in a way that is beneficial for us and those around us, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the hope, that's the goal. But I don't think people allow people don't allow people the grace that they allow themselves often.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that leads to a lot of letdown and frustration, mm-hmm, that comes out in weird ways,
right,
especially when, you know, you're on a public platform or being a celebrity or any, not even necessarily a celebrity, but just a known, let's say even locally known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people look for where there's something that they can see that's a chink in the armor,
right,
for lack of better words. It's, why though?
right?
And why can you not? Most of the people who we love throughout history, the version we know and then the version their family knows,
right,
you know what I mean, are, there might be some differences in there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that take away from these great things that were done?
Mm-mm.
No. Can you say, oh, because this happened, then there's no way to, no, I can be out here every day doing good,
right,
and cause, you know, doing things for a certain cause, and that coming from here,
right,
inside of my heart,
right,
because this is what I feel in me, and I can still mess up and get frustrated in traffic and get out and want to fight,
right.
Right?
Right, right, right?
Those two things can exist at the
right
same time in the same space.
Right.
And that's something that I just hope people get an understanding of and allow people the same grace, because we easily let ourselves off the hook,
right,
in a way we don't let others.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be understood for changing and developing and growing, but we don't want to give other people that.
Right.
And that's essentially operating from a place that you're holding people to a different standard than you're holding yourself to.
Yeah. And again, you know, on our way out, just really understanding that growth and change is a really very, very long process. And I think, you know, even if we have gotten to a level to where we're becoming more aware of ourselves and what's going on around us, you know, we definitely got to have that grace and that empathy for people who haven't just yet, because we know how hard it is. We did it. It's a struggle. It's constantly questioning everything you've ever been taught and making sure that you're holding on to the things that are conducive to your growth, awareness, and wisdom, while, you know, doing away with things that are not consistent with that or not a part of that. And so it's definitely it's a process, and you got to know that. And the most successful, I think, influencers, you know, and leaders understand that a lot of people aren't going to get it, and it's going to be a struggle. And I can't judge them for that, but, you know, we can just hope to,
you know, and continue to encourage, continue to inspire, and promote, you know, positivity and have grace on everybody that's trying to be better, you know. And so, you know, it's a process, but just keep working at it. You know, we all working at it. We still working at it. You know, and I can't say that we'll ever get there, but, you know, along the way, we're going to keep talking about it, and yes, we're going to keep pushing it. We're going to keep growing. I mean, again, remember, a big part of this show, a big part of Calculated Conversation, these ideals, is not to be perfect, but is to understand imperfection.
Mm-hmm. And spread that information. Speaking of information being spread, why don't you hit them off and let them know where they can contact us and keep up with us?
Yes, yes. Keep up with the Calculated Conversation radio show on IG at Calculated Conversation. Twitter, we at Calculated Talk. Facebook, it's Calculated Conversation radio show.
Bam.
We on iTunes, Calculated Conversation. Bam. I think Play Store, Calculated Conversation. Mm-hmm. The website's up, www.calculatedconversation.com. Where are some?
If you want to send a question, or, you know, you got a topic or something on your mind, you can send us an email.
Yeah.
calculatedconversation@gmail.com.
At Gmail.
Yes.
And also be sure, if you get a chance on IG and Facebook, look up Men Building Men. Mm-hmm. They're building an amazing movement to help curb the violence in Portland. I do understand that we have had the highest level in violence ever for January in Portland. Mm. We had the most shootings ever in January. Jeez. This year. And so Men Building Men has a hashtag We Are The Caution campaign. Hey. Look that up on your social media. It's getting bigger. The mayor's showing up, government officials showing up, police showing up. There was a press conference last week, and I showed up, and you know, we had that conversation. It was a powerful you know, meeting. And even the students showed up, the girls showed up, and they got on that,
yes,
mic. Yeah, the kids in high school showed up and got on that microphone and said, we need the older generation to look out for us. If we're doing the same things you're doing, then something is wrong.
Hey.
And I was like, dang right.
You know?
So keep up with those guys, Men Building Men. Look for the next event, you know, and we definitely will be having DJ OG1 back on the show, along with Roy.
Yes.
Who also, you know, started the whole idea of Men Building Men. We're going to talk to them, and we're going to get deeper. We trying to solve problems in the society. We trying to work together. There's certain things that we just got to talk about that we won't ignore any longer, just for the benefit of our society and our community as a whole.
Yes. With that being said, Calculated Everything.
Right. Look out for us, man. We appreciate you guys.
And now I'm living in correctional facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express you, I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage. And brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself, do it, do. Spread yourself, do it. Ice Cube, it's not for the pop chart. So where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track?
What up?
Drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records are spinning again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch a brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me.
Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians cuss at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to spread yourself.
This is KBOO Portland.
Girl in the cut and she choose a club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose a club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose a club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose a club going up.